From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America. How are you? My name is Dale Thronberry, and I will be your host this morning on Veterans Radio. And joining me is my air boss, Bob Gould. Good morning, Bob.
Screaming Eagles all the way.
All the way. Today's program is about Native Americans and America's military. We're going to be talking with a number of different Native Americans about the history of their participation in America's military, and I think it's going to be an excellent show, and I'm really excited to talk with them. And we're going to be talking about some of the marches for veterans benefits and veterans affairs with them, and also with our friend at the toward the end of the program, Michael J. Martin, the Vietnam-era troubadour extraordinaire. So we'll be talking with him toward the end of the program. But first, we have a special announcement to make. Boy, that sounds really official. It is official now. The Veterans Radio has landed another affiliate, and we are down in Cajun country right now. And joining me on Veterans Radio is the station manager, P.E. Gilligan of KAGY 1510 AM, Port Sulphur, New Orleans, Louisiana. P.E., welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, Dale. Good morning, Bob. How are you guys this morning?
We're excited. We are excited.
Very excited. Gator, good to be talking with you.
Well, it's good to be talking to you guys, and it's good to have an affiliation with VeteransRadio.net.
Well, we're very excited the opportunity to be down in Louisiana and getting to another area of the country for our listeners. I can listen on broadcast radio now. And P.E., what is your signal strength? Where do you go?
Well, we're only a 1,000-watt daytimer, which really doesn't sound like much because if you were inland, the signal gets eaten up and doesn't go far. But we're in Port Sulphur, Louisiana. That's where our tower is, south of New Orleans, about 50 miles, and right on the water. If you look at the map, we're right on the Gulf of Mexico. And AM radio has a tendency to what they call skip and travel well over water. So we're heard in 13 Louisiana parishes, which are like counties to the rest of the world. And we're heard in Mississippi, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, and Alabama, and into Florida. And a lot of people in motor vessels, the boat people, report hearing us way out into the Gulf.
Oh, I think that's great. What type of programming do you have down there on KAGY?
We are the Louisiana Swamp Pop Network. Swamp Pop is old rock and roll. Clarence Frogman Henry, Fats Domino, Frankie Ford, Joe Berry, and even songs by yours truly. So we play Swamp Pop music. Basically 6/8 blues, old rock and roll.
Well, that's great. And you are on 24 hours, or are you daytime?
No, we're a daytimer, sunrise to sunset. And we're all music except for Saturday mornings when we do our specialty shows.
Which is us. Which is us. And I also understand that you are going to be, at least initially, you're going to be playing our programs a week behind.
We're a week behind, and sometimes if we have a special show we want to run, we'll take one out of the archives. And we tell our listeners, even on the air, to go to your website because the archive shows that you people maintain is fantastic. And they can go back and listen to shows they've missed and whatever. This morning we're going to be running your PTSD show, I believe, in December.
All right. Well, we certainly do welcome you. Do you have a website yourselves yet?
No, we don't. Not for this station. We've only come back on the air. This is our sixth week back in operation. We were totally destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. We went under 28 foot of water. In fact, the import or the site at which Katrina came ashore in South Louisiana is almost the exact coordinates of our station.
Oh, okay.
So we've been down for a little time here and had to rebuild a new tower antenna, all the equipment, the rat shack and everything, and we put it back together, and we're back on the air.
Well, that's exciting for you and obviously exciting for us. And so we'll be telling the world on our stations currently. We are in Florida. We have two stations in Michigan. We're always looking for more out there. So if somebody is listening in and says, oh, how do you get Veterans Radio? Give us a call and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Go onto our website, click on Contact Us, and we'll get you on the air.
Well, it's a great pleasure for us to be with you. We've talked about getting with you guys, and I know you've discussed getting with us, and I think this is going to be a real good thing, and it's going to be good for the veterans, and that's what our main goal is to get information and the stories out to the veterans, and you guys produce, we think, some very fine programs.
Thank you very much, P.E., and that was an unpaid endorsement there, and we're looking forward to a long and fruitful relationship with KAGY and the other stations that you operate down there in Louisiana, and we're going to have you on later on another program and get into a little bit more detail about you and about your music and about your military experience, because we are veterans helping veterans, and I do want everybody to know that you are a veteran yourself.
Thank you, guys, and you guys have a good day, and keep it coming, and we'll keep it on the air.
Thank you, P.E.
God bless, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Now, that is exciting to me, Roberto.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I love it. I think he toured with Chuck Berry.
Did he?
Yeah, he told me he had 28 guitars. 28 guitars, right.
I don't think everybody knows that you like to play the guitar also.
Oh, a little bit. I don't have 28 guitars, though. And he did know, personally, Clarence Frogman Henry. You remember that song?
I do remember that.
Ain't Got No Home.
And, it's the soundtrack of the movie Diner.
Frankie Ford, C. Cruz, Let Me Take You. I mean, really?
Better watch out. We're going to turn ourselves
love
back into
guy.
Old-fashioned DJs. But before we do that, Bob's got our welcome home announcements for the day.
Thank you very much, Dale. Welcome home. Each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who, in the service of our country, have been stationed around the world. Dateline, New Braunfels, Texas. The Texas Army National Guard's A Battery, 4th Battalion, 133rd Field Artillery Unit returned home from a 10-month assignment in Iraq. Dateline, Annapolis, Maryland. 250 soldiers of the 1st Squadron, 158th Cavalry Regiment of the Maryland National Guard arrived home after a 9-month deployment. 6 months of that were spent in Iraq. Dateline, Kingston, New York. Members of the New York Army National Guards, 104th Military Police Battalion, were reunited with their families after serving in Iraq. Welcome Home is sponsored each week by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. For more information regarding the Marine Scholar Program, visit Ave Maria University online at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu, or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. That's the Assistant Director of Admissions, Ave Maria University, at 239-280-2550.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
How many of you are suffering from some kind of chronic pain? If you are, then you're just one of millions of people our age who just live with it. I strongly suggest that you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. The highly qualified and friendly staff at Quantum are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with a specific solution for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, or age-related morbidity, they can help you lead a productive life. Quantum Physical Therapy has two locations, one at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti, and the other at 6180 Michigan Avenue in Saline. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at www.qptherapy.com. And we are back on Veterans Radio, America's number one Veterans Radio program. If you want to participate, give us a call here at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I am honored to talk with our first guest today. We're going to be talking about Native Americans and America's history. And before I bring him on the air, I want to talk a little bit about our guest standing Lee Standing Bear Moore. He says the Moore's not, he's not responsible for the Moore. He's just call him Bear, and I will as we get into the interview. But Lee Standing Bear Moore is part of the Manitoka American Indian Council. Turns out he is the historian, ceremonial elder, and storyteller of that. His military background himself is that he served in Vietnam, 1967-1968, and excuse me. And interesting how this world gets smaller and smaller is that Bear earned a Silver Star, a Purple Heart, during the Battle of Nui Ba Dinh. For those of you who were in Vietnam, Nui Ba Dinh was up in the northwestern corner of Three Corps, and it just happens to be that about this time, not this time, but about 40 years ago, it seems, my helicopter took some foreign objects about 5 miles from Nui Ba Dinh, and I ended up in Tay Ninh, and I was stationed up in that area. So it's amazing how the circle gets closer and closer together. But I want to welcome right now to Veterans Radio, Lee Standing Bear Moore. Bear, welcome to Veterans Radio.
And good morning to you.
How are you, sir?
The life is wonderful today.
Yes, it is. Spring has finally arrived, I think.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Well, Bear, the reason that I asked you to come on the program was to talk about the role of the American Indian in America's military. And it is a long and glorious history, and I was wondering if we could kind of start off way back, even around the Revolution, it seemed, didn't it?
Well, yes. In fact, I think George Washington had many, many comments to make in his career about the contributions of American Indians to the white to the fight for independence.
Right. As a matter of fact, I've got a quote right here. It says, "I think that they," meaning the Indians, "can be made of excellent use as scouts and light troops." That was in 1778.
Ah, very good. Yes.
See, we do our homework here once in a while.
very good.
Tell me a little bit about, as I said, the role of the Indians throughout history as they started. Once we became independent, American Indians became more and more involved with America's military, didn't they not?
Oh, absolutely. It was not only in the Battle of the War of 1812 and moving up into World War One. About 12,000 American Indians served during World War One. And then, of course, World War II, there were over 44,000 that served between 1941 and 1945. It's interesting to note also that about 40,000 American Indians left their homes on the reservations to work in ordnance depots and factories and other war industries. They sacrificed a great deal. We know that the population of American Indian at that time was only about 350,000 people, kind of a disproportionate contribution on the part of American Indian.
Well, we know that the numbers of American Indians that were in the military, as you mentioned, was much higher than for all the other minority ethnic groups that were out there.
Yes.
And there were many, many heroes, of course, that came forth during these various conflicts that America had got involved in. In fact, in the 20th century, I believe, five Native Americans have been awarded the Medal of Honor.
Yes, and I believe now that number has become six.
Oh, I had not
just heard. Last, I believe March the 3rd, in fact, Master Sergeant Woodrow Keeble, W. Keeble, he's a Wahpeton Sioux from North Dakota, received the Medal of Honor long after his passing. He passed away a number of years ago, but he also received the Silver Star and Bronze Star and two Purple Hearts and other awards that he earned during World War II. But he got his Medal of Honor in Korea.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So this is another one where it took paperwork must have gotten lost somewhere.
Yes, it took quite a campaign by his wife and family and friends to see that he got that honor.
Oh, okay. We're talking with Lee Standing Bear Moore of the Monotaca American Indian Council. He's a historian for them. If you've got a question or a comment that you would like to make here on Veterans Radio about the American Indians, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Bear, I just wanted to tell me a little bit about the American Indian Council. What is that?
Monotaca is a nonprofit cultural, historical, educational and spiritual organization organized at a place we call Monotaca. It is a sacred site located in the center of Turtle Island, and today located at Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. We have members in, I believe, every state in the United States and also in many foreign countries as well. We are called an intertribal organization. Our mission is multifaceted, but our primary mission is to protect and to preserve the sacred site of Monotaca. But we also have other functions in helping our elders and helping the children. And we have an outreach program that's going to be beginning within the next year or so. And it's called Survival.
And you do have a website where people can go to get more information.
Yes.
It
is one of the largest American Indian websites in the country, and it is located at www.manataka, spelled MANATAKA .org, and they'll be able to access approximately 6,500 pages or more of printed pages of information free of charge at the Monotaca website. Lots of history, events, many topics are discussed.
Well, I have to admit that's where I went to get most of my information, of course. And although I have always been fascinated with the American Indian movement ever since I was, I hate to say this, ever since I was a Boy Scout and I was a member of the Iroquois Patrol, I'm from the East Coast, so we were following the Iroquois and the Lenni Lenape Indians. And I've always been fascinated with the culture of the American Indian. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, I guess you call it the warrior code.
Yes. There is great purpose in the heart of American Indian when they dedicate themselves to entering the military. It is a serious occupation intended to do many things, not just for themselves, because they do not enter the military for themselves. Even though they know that they're going to be able to receive great wisdom, knowledge from the training that they received and the association that they have between other people from many places in the country and in the world, they know that by seeing death and participating in dangerous situations, that they are helping to bring reason back from chaos. that may it's a very important point to make, because in one's spiritual strength and in the American Indian way, things try to become centered. That is, they find themselves in an even balance. We understand and recognize that war does disrupt the natural order of life and causes spiritual disharmony. To survive the chaos of war is to gain more intimate knowledge of life itself. Therefore, military service is a unique way, you know, to develop an inner strength that is valued in Native American society and in our history.
This is we talked about this issue back in the last fall on a program that we did on ethics and morality in war, and we were talking with a professor from the Naval Academy about the idea of this, if I mispronounce it, of the sweat lodge, where the warriors at the end of a battle would go back, not necessarily to their village, but they would go somewhere where they could work through all of their emotions that they'd gone through during a battle.
Yes, of course. That is a practice among American Indian to this day. We still go to, we call it Purification Lodge.
Okay.
Or of course, more commonly known as Sweat Lodge. But it is a church. It is a small, handmade church made out of willows and other coverings, and a fire is lit inside, and we sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And we sweat off all of the bodily impurities, but also through prayer, meditation, talking with the fellow braves, talking with our fellow brothers, we are able to understand what we have gone through and to accept it and integrate it into our whole life experience. I have been in sweat many times in dealing with my own brand of what do they call it,
PTSD.
PTSD, yes.
Well, considering what I had read about your experiences up on Nui Ba Din,
yes.
I can understand why you would have some difficulties, because we used to resupply people up there every once in a while. We would fly things up on top of the mountain. For our listeners out there, Nui Ba Din is about a 3,000-foot-tall mountain. We owned the top, and the bad guys owned everything else.
Yes,
and the only way you could get supplies up there was to take them up by helicopter. And in your experience, you were almost overrun.
Well, we were overrun several times, not just once or twice during the time of Tet, but previous to Tet, and we were overrun several times, and it was never easy to accept the horrors of what occurred during those invasions.
Right. Just for our audience sake, could you tell me what unit you were attached to over there?
My.
Mostly?
I was with the infantry. I was trained infantry. And I was with 2nd and 14th Wolfhounds for a good long time. They were based out of Kuchi and Tainin. And then my units were caught in a horseshoe ambush and decimated, and prior to the reorganization of my unit, I was sent to the top of this mountain to pull security for the radio operators that were up there at the top. There were only approximately 100 men up there, and none of them infantry, surprising, but I was there for a good period of time when the top of the mountain was overrun by NVA
right.
Soldiers.
This was in 1968, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to relive that for you, but I would like to talk to you a little bit about, again, going back to the warrior culture. You mentioned the idea of the of the purification, and I'm trying to look at some of the other laws or traditions that the American Indian has as far as being a warrior is concerned. And again, off your website, it pulled up some things. It talks about strength, and it talks about honor, pride, and devotion. Could you talk about that just a little?
Well, honor is a form of respect, and respect is a form of love. We know that we earn love in many cases. We earn it. We earn respect, and we earn honor as well. It is important, you know, for young people especially who really don't qualify to be in leadership positions, to be able to demonstrate their dedication and their love for their people, for their tribes, and war or becoming a warrior is important to receive the honors of that position. So honor is an important element here. We know that it fulfills a cultural purpose that's rooted in our traditions to defend and fight for their homeland. You know, American Indians have been fighting for our homeland, fighting terrorism since around 1492.
Pretty close to there. That's true.
But wisdom is an important element here because it is a pursuit of an American Indian to receive the wisdom not only of his own elders but and his own culture but through his own experiences. And so the warrior in our way is when he joins the military is really seeking wisdom, training, education. Well, oftentimes, you know, American Indians have in the past lived way out on reservations where exposure to the modern world is limited. And through the exposure of other peoples and training, they are able to come in contact with many outside things. And so, therefore, they are able to increase their knowledge and wisdom.
What about the idea of we know that the warrior tradition is carrying on today. As I was going through my notes this morning, I noticed that especially leading up to World War II, that American Indians were not even considered citizens up until the Snyder Act of 1924.
Yes, that is true. Yes. Prohibition against owning land, could not send children to public schools, could not sue in a court of law, could not... so many rights that are enjoyed by American Indians were not available to the American Indian until, oh my gosh, what was that, 1938?
Somewhere in that neighborhood. I think the law was passed in the early 20s, but it wasn't really put into effect until I think the draft came about, and then they started drafting American Indians, it looked like.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. You know, along with... American Indian men, we should not ignore or forget the contribution that American Indian women have made to the military over the centuries. There have been so many that we don't have time to go into the details of each woman who made a contribution, but there have been many. There is a memorial in Washington, D.C., near the entrance of the Arlington National Cemetery that is dedicated to Native American women.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Quite a beautiful place.
I'm going to ask you, I'm talking with Standing Bear Moore of the Manitoka American Indian Council. I'm going to ask you to hold on. We're going to go around the bottom of the hour with our Medal of Honor, and I'm going to have some more questions for you and bring on our other guests.
Talking about
American Indians, you are listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Hospital apprentice Fred McGuire, after emptying his rifle, used it as a club. Tales after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
While attached to the USS Pampang, McGuire was one of a shore party moving in to capture Mundang, Philippine Islands, on the morning of 24 September 1911. Ordered to take station within 100 yards of a group of huts close to the trail, McGuire advanced and stood guard as the leader and his scout party first searched the surrounding deep grasses, then moved into the open area before the huts. Instantly, the enemy opened point-blank fire on the exposed men, and approximately 20 enemy charged the small group from inside the huts and from other concealed positions. McGuire, responding to the calls for help, was one of the first on the scene. After emptying his rifle into the attackers, he closed in with his rifle, using it as a club to wage fierce battle until his comrades arrived on the field, when he rallied to the aid of his dying leader and other wounded. Although himself wounded, McGuire ministered tirelessly and efficiently to those who had been struck down, thereby saving the lives of two who otherwise might have succumbed to enemy-inflicted wounds.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Pat the Handyman and his team is ready to help you with your remodeling, repair, and painting projects. Call Pat the Handyman at 734-260-1158. That's 260-1158. Pat the Handyman is a veteran-owned business.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313. Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs. And we are back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking about American Indians in the military. And I just wanted to, we just did our Medal of Honor thing there, so I wanted to just remind everybody that we've got 5 Medal of Honor recipients, 6 we just mentioned one earlier in the program, but I wanted to honor Jack C. Montgomery. He won his, not won, you don't win a Medal of Honor, I understand that. received his Medal of Honor in World War II. Ernest Childers, Van Barfoot in World War II. Michael Red Cloud Jr., earned his in Korea, and Charles George earned his in Korea also. I've been talking with Lee Standing Bear Moore of the Manitoka American Indian Council, and we've been talking about American Indians in the military. And, Bear, I just wanted to kind of talk about a little bit about what is going on currently. How have the American Indians been responding to the current conflict in the military?
As usual, as is our history, we have joined in good numbers. I say joined, not been drafted,
right?
But have enlisted to be able to go to Iraq and Afghanistan and other areas of the world that have had problems.
Are you retarded?
Lori Pishwata, a Hopi lady, was killed in Iraq in 2003. A wonderful, wonderful person Lori was. And the Hopi Nation is honored to make this sacrifice. And
right.
We now have a new organization that has started up, well, not that long ago. It's called the National Native American Veterans Association. More information about it is on our website at www.manataka.org. And about the National Native American Veterans Association, it's quite an organization. Not that many members yet.
Well, it takes a long time to get those things going. I
absolutely
know
it does. But they're making a good effort of it. They're trying very hard, and we're proud of what they're doing to serve American Indians and veterans.
Well, that's true, and I believe that they are located in Oklahoma.
I think so.
And, I sent them an email.
And now,
email
now in Texas.
Box was full.
And now in Texas, I believe.
I want to thank you very much, Standing Bear, for being on the program. I don't want you to go away. I'm just going to ask you to hold on while we bring on our other guests. Some of the issues that have gone on out there about America's veterans, America's Indian veterans, if you have any questions or comments for any of our guests, please give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining me on the program right now is Jake Singer. Jake, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
Okay. I hope I got you. I realize I've gotten you out of bed this morning because it's probably, I don't know what, 3:30 or wherever you are. Where are you, in New Mexico, Arizona right now?
Well it's, I'm in New Mexico, and it's almost 8 o'clock, so I'm not too bad.
Oh, okay. I thought it was much later. Anyway, what I'm talking with Jake about is that you are a member of the president of the Walk with the Warriors Incorporated, or Walk with the Warriors. Could you tell me a little bit about what the Walk with the Warriors is?
Walk with the Warriors was organized in 1990, and to bring recognition to Native American Indian veterans, just within our immediate area to start. That's how it started, you know, but it wound up going nationwide. And to bring recognition and at the same time, you know, to make the public and the federal government aware of the need of the Native American Indian veterans, plus that Native American Indian veterans, they've done their deed, and they should not be forgotten.
Well, I think that both of you probably agree with that. Jake, I understand that one of the first walks that you did was from New Mexico to Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Yes. Locally, it began, you know, just making walks, small walks, maybe 100 miles, 200 miles, and like on Memorial Days and Veterans Day, just here in New Mexico locally. And then in 1993, it was they were building the National Vietnam Women's Memorial. And we had a chance to talk with Diane Carlson Evans before that, and she was a real nice person, and we had a real good talk with her doing some of our visits to Washington, D.C., and got a chance to meet with her. So then through that, then we decided to honor the Vietnam Woman's memorial. Mm-hmm. And we walked from Farmington, New Mexico to Washington, D.C. in honor of the first anniversary of the Vietnam Woman's Memorial.
Oh, okay. I got a listener on the line that has a question for either one of you gentlemen, so we'll put them on right now. Welcome to Veterans Radio. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. You have a question for our guest?
Yes, I was wanting to ask Bear, does he belong to any military service organization like Military Order of the Purple Heart, the one that was founded by George Washington? He made mention of Washington had some Indians, and I know I was just wondering if he belonged to the Military Order of the Purple Heart, which was founded by Washington.
Yes, I am a very proud member of the Hot Springs Village Military Order of the Purple Heart. It has been a wonderful life experience to meet and join with the men of that organization who are dedicated to not just the camaraderie between themselves, but they are dedicated to serving American Indians, Military Order of Purple Heart veterans all throughout this area. They are doing a wonderful job, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
Thank you very much for your call, and thank you again, Standing Bear. I want to thank that. Well, also joining us on the line that writers is Bill Edwards. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. I think we had a little technical problem there, but that's okay. I understand that you are out in, where are you right now, New Mexico?
No, I'm in Arizona. I'm in Loop, Arizona, Western Agency, Navajo Reservation.
Right, and people don't believe these things when we tell them this stuff, but I talked with Bill the other day, and he lives so far out that he doesn't have any telephone service, and there's no cell phone service out there, so we want to thank Bill for walking to a friend's house this morning to be on Veterans Radio.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, sometimes it's kind of like being in the third world, but we enjoy it anyway.
Well, we've been talking with Jake and about the Walk of the Warriors, and that he was telling us how one of you, you know, you're walking to bring attention to Indian issues and especially to Indian veteran issues, and that one, the most famous walk that you had, as I mentioned, was the one from New Mexico to Washington, D.C. Which is how far? That's 2,000.
Oh, that's quite a distance. I don't know, but I think it's close to about 1,800 miles.
Did you participate in that?
No, I was not in that walk.
Good for you. Your probably feet would still hurt. Tell me about either one of you, Bill or Jake. Tell me a little bit more about your organization. I know that you have a website out there called Warrior Walk, although I did have a little problem getting on it this morning, and I'm not sure what happened. But tell me what you offer to people.
Okay, what Walk of the Warriors is all about is, we want to get November 7th designated as Native American Veterans Day in recognition of all of the contributions made by Native American veterans, Native American warriors. We are a intertribal organization. We have members, board members from various tribes throughout the nation. And what we look to do is to be as much help towards our veterans, both Native and non-Natives, because we've all served. And it covers peacetime veterans as well as our combat veterans.
Well, it sounds as though... It's far as what is going on out there to get recognition for veterans, not, as you mentioned, not just for Native American veterans, and it sounds like it's also something that we need to do as veterans. You know, we need to stick together, and I've got to go to another break here in just a moment. So I'm going to ask all three of you, please, if you would hold on, because we're going to be talking with another good friend of Veterans Radio to talk about some of these marches that he has been on to raise awareness for veterans issues. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
Gary Lilly and Associates is now Sperry Van Ness Lilly and Associates. The newest Michigan affiliate of a leader in the commercial real estate industry, Sperry Van Ness. More than 800 Sperry Van Ness advisors in 136 markets sold nearly $11 billion in commercial real estate last year. That was done by putting the client's interest first, thereby generating maximum return for every property. When we list a property, we immediately place it on 6 internet commercial listing services and email it to 40,000 prospective buyers and 60,000 commercial brokers. We offer to split the commission 50-50. That means your interests, not ours, are placed first. To learn more, call Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates Commercial Realtors at 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Be advised, there is a difference.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
That is the music of a good friend of ours, Michael J. Martin. Michael J. Martin, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
They're talking with Dale right now. Bob's in the other room. That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dale. I couldn't recognize your voice.
Oh, well, I know. It's because we're all sound old. That's why I picked that song.
Speak for yourself, man.
That's the reason you picked that song?
Yeah, it was, pretty much. Although, really, what we've been talking to about today on Veterans Radio is the American Indians in the military, and one of their projects out there is a Walk of the Warriors, where they're trying to draw attention to the American Indian veterans issues, and also to draw attention to veterans' issues in general. And it's something that we have to really pay attention to, all of us out there that served in the military, or even our families, friends, anybody who even didn't serve in the military. There's a lot of things going on out there about veterans and, you know, what do veterans earn, what do they deserve. And, Michael, you've been involved in a number of walks, too, and that's what why I wanted to ask you to come back onto our program and talk about those.
Yeah, Dale, and a lot of those walks have been with the Native Americans. We did a lot of marches with those guys, and of course my late partner Tim Doc Holliday was very much into the Native American spiritualism and the Indian way, and so we were very much involved with them. The last patrol, we started marching in 1985, kind of in an effort to live up to the songs that Holliday and I were writing. The themes of our music was you know, be proud of who you are, and we were getting very active in veteran politics and trying to seek accountability for POW MIA, as well as some accountability on the issues of health and Agent Orange and these sorts of things that were impacting so many veterans. And we came up with the idea in 1985 of doing a march from Dallas to the Alamo, a 300-miler, and we chose that because our theme for the march was remember the Alamo and quit telling us to forget about Vietnam, quit telling us to forget about our POW, MIA, and our brothers in VA hospitals and such. And so we just we started in 85, and the response in that march, particularly back then, you know, there were so many veterans in the proverbial woods, and they literally came out and walked with us, and Gold Star mothers and fathers did, and so many people. It seemed to just wake up the communities everywhere we walked through, and it really did have such a great effect that it led to other marches. And in 86, we marched in Illinois and Colorado, and then in 87, Arizona. And then 87 also, we did what we call the Long March. The Indians got a different Long March, but what we called ours the Journey to Remember. And we marched from the Alamo to the Wall, which is 1,600 miles. And we
A lot of people out there. Michael J., are you still involved in these marches? Are there any marches coming up that you're aware of?
No. I like that song you played. We're getting a little older.
I know.
There's one that I don't really know the details on. I need to get on the internet and find out some information. But I have heard that they're doing one as we speak. Probably came in yesterday, I think, was their due date. They came in from North Carolina or South Carolina sort of as a counterbalance to the Winter Soldier meetings that are going on in Washington, D.C.
Oh, right, right.
So that was the thrust of their march.
Bill or Jake, either one of you, are there any walks that are planned for the Warriors?
Nothing in the plans right now.
Okay.
You know, when something happens, you know, it just everybody just come join together and make it happen. Sometime in the near future, we'll be making another walk across the nation. And it wasn't just one walk that we made across the nation from Farmington, New Mexico to Washington, D.C., and then from San Pedro, California to Washington, D.C., in honor of the 20th anniversary of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. We made a walk from San Pedro, California to Washington, D.C.
Did you do that one?
Yes.
How long did it take you to do that?
About 3 months. We started on July 1st and got into D.C. on November 6th.
I'm always amazed when I hear about people that do this. I admire your courage and your dedication, and it kind of takes you back to, unfortunately, not a good insight for you guys, but when the wagon trains would come from the other direction to come out, how long it would take people to get across the country.
Yeah, our purpose was to do something like a comfort with the media,
mm-hmm.
and bring the media attention in the big cities, you know, across the nation as we were walking. And it was pretty successful. And at the same time, we had a resolution that we made and brought to before the Congress in the House and then the Senate. And it passed on both the House and the Senate to make November 7th as National American Indian Veterans Day. And it became before the president, and he never did sign that. So we had to start all over again. We're still working on it, and we're not giving up until it's there.
I think it sounds like a great idea. It sounds like we got a bunch of good people on the line right now that can help. Maybe we can help get that done.
Yeah, absolutely. We need lots of help, you know. We've got to stand together, you know, to make it happen.
That's very true. Bear, you're still there?
I am alive, yes.
I know you are. I know you are. And maybe we can put all of you, you know, you folks together, and we can organize a little protest of our own to get the president to sign this bill. That, you know, we need to honor our veterans, as I said, not only as individuals and as different groups, but, of course, as a whole. And I'm just wondering, why in the world you wouldn't sign that?
Well, I think it might be more productive if we waited until the new president came into office.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Whomever it may be. I think if McCain is president, then he has a natural sympathy for what we're trying to accomplish. If it's Obama, then I think we have a good chance anyway of being able to accomplish this. A national holiday for American Indians in general is called for at this time.
Yes,
not just the veterans, because we're all veterans. If you're an Indian, you are a veteran. It makes no difference if you're a man, woman, or child. We all have given, and we've all understand the tremendous sacrifices.
I think so. Michael, did I hear you say something?
Columbus Day, I think it's about time to have a Native American Day.
There you go.
There you go.
Let's start a petition.
We're together
going
on that.
To turn Columbus Day into
St.
National
Patty's
American
Day
Indian
tomorrow,
Day.
You know, so it might be a good idea to have a Native American Day. You know, that would be good. I did one of the marches that I did in the early 90s, I believe it was from Crown Point, New Mexico, to Farmington. So I was probably involved with some of the guys you're talking to.
I was the treasurer for the Walk Up the Warrior organization, and Milton Chi was the commander for the organization.
Right. Yeah, how's Milton doing?
Oh, I haven't seen him lately, but I imagine he's doing pretty good.
And then they came to at the culmination of the march to Farmington is when the VVA came out to us and asked us to lead the parade for the 10th anniversary in Washington, D.C., which was great. You know, it was a lot of
yourself,
Walk of the Warriors,
I was the one that carried the warrior staff, and I led the whole march in 92.
Okay, now, and what's your name again?
Was that Jake?
Jake Singer.
Jake Singer. I'm trying to remember all the names. I didn't have. I've done so many of these things, I can't remember everybody's names.
We'll put you guys all in touch with each other. So
that'd be great.
Get these things going. I want to thank all of you for being on Veterans Radio today. As usual, we run out of time, and I can't. You know, we can keep these things going on forever. But I want to thank you very much, especially Lee Standby Bear. More of the Manitoka American Indian Council. Thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to come here and meet these other gentlemen, Jake and Bill. We are very happy to know you're there, and we'd like to know a lot more about you.
All right, we'll put you guys in touch with each other. Bill Edwards, Jake Singer of the Walk for the Warriors, or Walk of the Warriors, Walk with the Warriors. Which do you guys prefer?
Walk with the Warriors.
Okay. And their website is Warrior Walk. And hopefully some people will start, and you guys can start contacting each other, and we'll go from there. Thank you both very much for being on Veterans Radio. And thank you. And
thank
Michael
you very
J.,
much.
Thank you again, as usual, for helping us out with...
I have one more thing I want to say real quick.
Okay, Jake.
It's okay. Walk with the Warriors working on building... American Indian Veterans Memorial near Oklahoma City.
Okay. People can go to sites, and we'll find out more information about those things, and we'll keep people updated as to what's going on. Jake, thank you again very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Michael J., thank you.
Thank you, Dale.
As usual, we'll be talking with you again for great music. If you want to, what's your website, Michael?
It's www.myspace.com, Michael J. Martin/Michael J. Martin Music. And that will link into other sites.
People just go. Actually, you can Google Michael J. Martin. You'll find him. Thanks very much. We got about 20 seconds to go. Bob, thank you very much for your help today. I want to thank all of our sponsors, Marine Scholars, Quantum Physical Therapy, Legal Help for Veterans, Len Pitlack, Schrader Yachts, Sperry Van Ness, Lillian Associates, Pat the Handyman, Everybody, tune in next week. We're going to be talking about the medical problems, especially the medical problems of the National Guard, and coming up also is Gulf War Syndrome. That's it for today. You are dismissed.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests and are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.